Joining us now to analyze today's headlines is Robert Jensen, sitting in for Chenjerai Kumanyika. He is an author and a professor of journalism at the University of Texas at Austin. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Sonali.
U.S. Defense Secretary Ashton Carter has arrived in Baghdad, Iraq, in an unannounced visit. The purpose of his visit is apparently to oversee the Iraqi-led effort to recapture the key city of Ramadi from the Islamic State group. It is Mr. Carter's first visit since he was appointed Defense Secretary in February. His first stop was at the Iraqi Counterterrorism Service Academy, where he told troops, quote, "Your forces have performed so very well, so very bravely. I just wanted to tell you that it is very clear to us in Washington what a capable force this is." Carter's words are in stark contrast to what he himself said in May when Iraq lost Ramadi to ISIS. He said soldiers, quote, "just showed no will to fight. The offensive against ISIS in Ramadi may begin within weeks. Days ago, it was reported that ISIS destroyed the Ramadi Olympic Stadium with explosives. It was the largest such sports stadium in the region." Well, Bob, what do you make of the role that the U.S. is playing in Iraq right now as represented by Carter?
Well, in some sense, I don't make anything of it because I don't think the United States knows what it's doing, so it's hard to assess it. This talk of taking cities rings a bit hollow. This isn't a conventional war. We're not marching across Europe to take cities to eventually destroy Nazi Germany. I think the whole language indicates the United States still doesn't have a plan. All we know for certain is American officials will blame the Iraqi army and other regional forces for anything that goes wrong and pretend that the United States has no role in how all of this happened. I guess that's what it takes to be a U.S. official now, is to recognize the benevolence and grandness of the United States when something good is going on and then blame everything else on others when it's going wrong.
And in Europe, the Greek parliament has just passed a second bailout package this morning with a vote of 230-63. According to the New York Times, the new measures overhauling the banking and judicial systems passed easily with significant support from opposition parties, eager to do whatever it takes to keep Greece from leaving the Eurozone. All but two of the Syriza party members who were opposed to the first bailout package also voted no to the second package. One of the two who changed his position to support the second package was former finance minister Yanis Varoufakis. The embattled prime minister Alexis Tsipras told parliament, "We're not done here. We are fighting to improve the final text of the deal. We will fight for countermeasures and for funds for society." Meanwhile, protests raged outside the parliament building in Athens, with thousands of people accusing the Syriza party of reneging on its anti-austerity platform. Well, Bob, has Tsipras let everyone down, or is he just stuck in this horribly difficult position?
Well, my answer to that question is a definitive yes. You know, both things are true, obviously. Yeah. I mean, it's easy to label him a sellout and to say that he turned his back on his campaign promises, which is true enough. But the question really is, what are the viable options? To leave the Eurozone, to go back to the drachma, is going to cause incredible pain for the Greek people. To stay in the Eurozone, to accept the austerity program, is going to cause pain for the Greek people. I don't pretend to know what the right decision would have been, but I think it's a little naive to simply put a good guy, bad guy framework on this. It's a difficult situation. It's a reminder that left parties, even when elected with a clear mandate, still have to live in the world of international capital, something we've known for a long time, but does seriously limit the ability of elected leaders to maneuver.
And finally, workers on both coasts of the U.S. are celebrating this week. In New York, a panel appointed by Governor Andrew Cuomo announced yesterday that it was recommending raising the wages of fast food workers throughout the state to $15 an hour. Wages would have to rise faster in New York City because of the higher cost of living there. Acting Labor Commissioner Mario Mussolino must accept the recommendation as per state law. Wages will be raised in the city to $10.50 by the end of the year and will rise to $15 by the end of 2018. The victory is sweet, given that 3 years ago, fast food workers in New York City were the first to walk off their jobs, kicking off the nationwide Fight for 15 campaign. In California, where various cities have already acted to raise wages to $15 an hour, the University of California system announced yesterday that its workers and contractors would get $15. Their wages would rise to $13 an hour this fall, $14 next year, and finally $15 by fall of 2017. Well, Bob, how important a lesson in the power of activism is this story?
Well, this is a terrible decision, of course, because it's going to hurt low-wage workers and kill job creation.
Right.
Oh, wait, I was reading from the right-wing playbook at that point. Sorry, I had the wrong script. You know, the research indicates now that these increases in minimum wage have positive effects, not only obviously on the lives of the workers, but even on economic activity. So the old right-wing playbook is no longer relevant, although we still hear from it, of course. I think the real question here is, what lessons will unions take from this? You know, unions for a long time, most of my life, focused on how to secure the gains of skilled workers, high-wage workers. That game is over. And now I think that we can see that the action is at the lower level, at lower wage jobs, especially those jobs where there's a lot of immigrant labor. And I think the labor movement is slowly catching on to this. The street activism was essential to this, but to go further, of course, it's going to need the active cooperation of organized labor in even more dramatic ways than we've seen so far. That's hopeful.
Thanks, as always, Bob, for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Sonali.
Robert Jensen is sitting in for Chenjerai Kumanyika. He's an author and a professor of journalism at the University of Texas at Austin. This is Uprising. We'll be right back.